You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Wednesday morning, February the 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. We're going to talk state budget, the proposed state budget that Governor Doyle delivered to the state legislature last night, a $58 billion two-year state budget plan. The governor called it a budget for the middle class, not a budget for big oil companies or the big tobacco companies. We're going to talk about what's in the budget and what's not, and welcome your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email with your question or reaction to talk@wpr.org. Talk@wpr.org. In this hour, we're going to be welcoming in a professor of political science at UW La Crosse, Joe Heim. A little later in the hour, we'll hear from a guest from a property taxpayers group to talk about how this affects property taxes. In our next hour, we're going to have a professor of economics join us to talk a little bit about the budget, as well as someone from the Wisconsin Petroleum Council to react to the proposed oil tax, and a guest from the Wisconsin Hospital Association to react to the proposed tax on hospitals. In our 8 o'clock hour, we will welcome in the co-chairs of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, Democrat Russ Decker and Republican Kitty Rhodes. The legislature now hammers out this proposed budget delivered to them from Governor Doyle, and we'll see what happens with that, and we'll find out from our guest this hour what sorts of fights we can expect. Again, you can join in with your questions, your thoughts at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let me welcome our first guest, Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, what's your general reaction to the budget delivered last night by Governor Doyle?
Well, he delivered pretty much the same budget, at least the major parts that he mentioned several weeks ago in his State of the State address. And at that time, I thought it was mildly ambitious, and it still looks very ambitious relative to what he was able to do the first 4 years. It looks like he's moving into an era when there's going to be a little bit more money and a little more potential for doing certain initiatives. In the area of healthcare, in the area of energy resources, it's a new area in essence, or at least a growing expansion of government role there. And one of the things that struck me about the thing as a whole, he did emphasize middle class. This is an interesting Democratic theme in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tax credits are in this budget. Overall, I think it's going to be relatively well received. He'd used the phrase shared priorities at one point. He talked about three big goals in this budget: fiscal responsibility, shared priorities, and opportunities for families and kids.
Yeah.
The shared priority one, very clearly, it almost looks like both the Republicans in the Senate and in the Assembly have their own agendas, and it actually it reads like their agenda. So I think he's identifying areas where I think he can get things done with him.
Yeah, the Republican leadership anyway isn't real thrilled about some of the tax increases, though, proposed tax increases.
No, there's certainly the shared priorities, at least in general themes, were similar. But they have a lot of concerns, you know, the structural deficit issue. While the governor is attempting to address it, it's clearly still there yet. They're not interested in, you know, one of their big proposals is tax cuts. And now the governor talked about tax cuts. There's some increases in here, which the Republicans immediately identified. And obviously he tried to pin Governor Doyle on saying he was not going to have any increases. And now big oil is going to get taxed. There's going to be a tax cigarette tax increase. Fee increases apparently are buried in here. The hospital tax, I know, has been mentioned about a week ago and has been of some concern to Republicans. So there are some concerns in here, certainly.
Yeah, there. Let's talk a couple of these increases. It would cost more to register a car. It's not a huge surprise, but it's a little surprise that instead of the $10 increase that he supported during the campaign, this would be a proposed $20 increase.
Yeah, well, if you're going to do certain things, Joy, you've got to have some money. And that particular fee is relatively low in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and I think he recognizes that he could raise that without substantial outcry from people. You know, if you know what your friends in Illinois or Michigan or Minnesota are doing, this is, in fact, still relatively modest.
We're going to check the weather forecast, and then we'll continue talking about what's in the proposed budget that Governor Doyle delivered to the state legislature last night. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The proposed budget does not increase the state sales tax or income tax, but it would cost more to register a car, get a driver's license, or smoke a cigarette. Governor Doyle proposed solving the state's budget shortfall by tapping some federal money, delaying some costs, some accounting maneuvers, and paring down state agency spending requests. Doyle is also proposing, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, some taxes on hospitals and oil companies. And we'll talk also some more about what this proposed budget would mean for property taxes after the weather break. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 14th. We're talking state budget issues all morning long here on the Ideas Network. And Ben Marins will as well after 4 o'clock this afternoon. He'll be welcoming in the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, Todd Berry, to talk about the governor's proposed budget after 4 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking with Joe Heim for this hour. He's a professor of political science at UW La Crosse, giving us his take, his analysis of this proposed budget. And we'll talk a little bit later in this hour with a guest from the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Incorporated about how this proposed budget would affect property taxes. And we're going to be getting, I hope, a reaction from you all morning long as well. Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch had this to say about the governor's proposal after the address last night.
At a time when we know that we're going to, that we face deficits, that we need to try and reduce spending in order to do, that we certainly can't be going out there and saying now is the time to start raising taxes. What we need to do is figure out how we can get spending more in line with people's ability to pay, how we can get government more in line with what the taxpayers can afford. And rather than going back and saying we're simply going to need more of your money, figuring out how government is going to be able to do with less.
Professor Heim, Mike Hipsch says we need to reduce more spending, can't keep on tapping the taxpayer.
I think he's mouthing the themes that Republicans have been doing for some time, and I think that's a general concern. Wisconsin's income, the average income in Wisconsin has not been going up. We're still below the national average, and unfortunately, we're still in the top 10 in taxes. And it appears as if that budget is not going to change that substantially. Our ranking isn't going to change at all.
What is the governor? The governor did address wise use of taxpayer dollars, and he is asking state agencies to pare down their spending requests.
He mentioned that state agencies, he didn't mention who they were, but he said the major state agencies were going to be asked to cut, I think, several percentage points from their budget. But at the same time, there's certain initiatives that are going to add money back into those budgets. So on balance, I don't see a lot of changes in that area. I did note he didn't say anything about the state employee unions, and obviously he didn't say anything about salaries. But the one of his things, which it seems to have disappeared here, is the cut in the state bureaucracy. I think he proposed 10,000 job cut several years ago, and that seems to have disappeared, and I suspect a lot of employees will be happy to hear that.
Yeah. In fact, I heard just a blip in the state newscast that the Doyle administration is saying various federal mandates are actually going to result in adding some jobs to the state workforce, you know, that there are no more state job cuts, but there will actually be a minimal increase.
There's some interesting relationships going on here between the federal government and the state, especially in the healthcare area, and it's not clear how this is going to come out. At what point, when the governor was talking about senior care, for example, he said something to the effect that we have to all work together and the state delegation in Washington has to work to save this program. Clearly, there's some concerns about that. There was an article several days ago in the New York Times that talked about a lot of states attempting to get more money from the federal government in the healthcare area using fairly creative programs to do so. I suspect that Wisconsin would be one of those states, and it's going to require acquiescence, if not outright support from the federal government in those areas. That is not going to be easy given the federal budget situation.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit. I promise we'd talk a little bit about the property tax situation as well. His budget would allow property taxes to go up as much as 4%, doubling the two-year cap that expired in January. That would result in an estimated tax increase on a median valued home of about 2.7% or about $75. What about property taxes?
Well, that seems like, given the fact that the economy has improved over the last 4 years, that seemed to me to be a relatively reasonable way. Local governments, I'm sure, will be happy to hear that. School districts will be happy to hear that. On the downside, however, the shared revenues look like they're essentially flat, and that's the way they've been for many years.
Yeah.
But this it looks like a loosening of that cap, and that's why I think local governments will be at least a little bit more happy about that. On balance, after you add this all together, you throw in the tax credits that the governor's proposing, dealing with shared school aids and things. You wonder if, in fact, the taxes will, in fact, go up at 2.7. They already projected to go up about 3.5%, saw a story several weeks ago. So this is a little bit of a modest control, but let's say reasonable.
Oh, you're saying that it needs those tax credits have to pass in order for the taxes not to go up as much.
Yeah, when you add that all together, then it comes out pretty reasonable. And if some of those things don't pass, then it's probably going to be closer to 4%. All in all, however, that still is, compared to the last 10 years, a relatively modest increase.
Yeah. Is this a big deal, increase the real estate transfer tax?
That one I didn't catch, Joy.
Yeah, I mean, it's highlighted here from $3 to $5 per $1,000 of sales price, which would increase the tax on a $166,000 home from about $500 to $830.
Yeah, on balance, it's not a major increase. There's a lot of little things in this budget, which I would classify from years past as revenue enhancers, little ways of getting a few bucks here and there. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really radical in here, but it's there's little bits and pieces, which in fact, as they say, the devil's in the details. And there's a little bit of money here and there, all of which adds up to at least money that will provide the kind of initiatives that the governor wants to do.
Well, this might be the new hospital tax that he's proposing of 1% of gross revenue. Hospitals are saying this is a tax on sick people.
This is the hospitals are going to fight this one tooth and nail. There's no question about that, because that will virtually be passed on in some way, shape, or form. And I think the same is probably true for the oil tax if that, in fact, goes through. But the hospitals recognize that what this is a continuation of what the federal government's been doing, essentially cutting back or taking money from hospitals in certain ways, thus transferring the cost essentially to those people who are paying the bills at those hospitals. And that's not really clear exactly how that's going to work out, but very clearly the hospitals recognize that this is going to be an increase in their costs.
Yeah. Increase the nursing home bed tax from $75 a month for each bed to $125 a month?
There's, Joy, part of this, as the way I understand it, has to do with increasing Medicare and Medicaid money to the state of Wisconsin. It's a fairly complex formula, but by increasing those types of costs to the hospitals, you actually increase the amount of money coming from the federal government, if, in fact, they continue the programs as they were. So essentially, the state of Wisconsin will get increased money for the kind of health care programs that they want. At the same point, some of the costs will be transferred to those people who have insurance in the state.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about this proposed oil tax. This one is going to be fought too.
Oh, absolutely. Big oil.
Yeah.
who loves big oil? You have to, if you didn't know that Governor Doyle was a Democrat, that's one of the few things that you heard here. He talked about gouging, increase profits for things like Exxon. That's the kind of stuff that Democrats have been wary of. And, you know, we've seen those stories, and everybody knows what we paid for gas the last year. So he's really tapping into a general concern that people have about oil. And essentially saying that this is one place we can go after money, and I think the public will support me on it. Yeah. I think the Republicans certainly will oppose that, however.
Yeah, and I'm trying. Can you figure out how he says it will be criminal to pass this tax along to the consumer? A lot of people are saying, how are you going to stop that?
That's a good question. Big oil does not necessarily reside in the state of Wisconsin. And how you go after criminal charges with Exxon or other companies that are outside the state primarily it's very difficult. I'd be interested to hear more about that. But that's a threat, basically. The reality of whether that would ever go through, I think, is pretty unlikely.
Yeah, so if it doesn't go through, then what about the transportation needs that this is going to be needed for?
One of the areas, Joy, that I think was not heavily emphasized in this is transportation. It's not clear whether or not there are going to be sufficient resources for the type of transportation infrastructure packages we've done in the past. That's one area in the state which has done financially very well the last 10 years, certainly relative to the other big five spending areas. And it's not clear. The governor went through a litany of areas where, you know, various projects around the state of Wisconsin are going to be funded. But on balance, you don't know whether or not the bottom line is still as large as it was. And there, you know, without the indexing, I think, you know, there's some concern that there won't be enough money there for everything that we want to do. Yeah. There'll be a slowdown in those projects.
And as you mentioned, he said, this is not a budget for the big oil companies, and it's not a budget for big tobacco either. So that was another, he was going to sack it to the tobacco companies with this hike in the cigarette tax.
That is one of the issues that has gotten an enormous amount of publicity, the $1.25 increase. I would expect that to get pared back somewhat, but yet it's also a very popular tax in the sense that you know, it's one of those areas where people don't really seem to object. And there's the governor tied this very, very smartly to child care and the fact that if you could increase that tax substantially, you're going to cut back smoking amongst young people. So to me, it looks like a long-term approach. But whether he actually gets that amount, that would put us in the top 10 in the United States. And frankly, it would outprice tobacco. I'm afraid what we might see is a black market on tobacco if that actually went through. We'd have people from Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota bringing cigarettes into the state to sell to their friends. You have to be a little careful about if you outprice yourself relative to your neighboring states, that's what occurs.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about what's in Governor Doyle's proposed state budget. He delivered this $58 billion two-year state budget plan to the state legislature last night, and we welcome your questions about it, your reactions to it, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Governor Doyle's spending plan for the next 2 years has some higher taxes and fees, no increase in the sales tax or the income tax, but there is a proposed tax on hospitals that would generate an estimated $400 million a year. Governor Doyle also wants to increase the cost to register a car from $55 to $75. We'll talk about more that's in the budget after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday morning, February the 14th. We'll continue talking about the state budget that Governor Doyle delivered to the state legislature last night, a $58 billion two-year budget plan that Governor Doyle says is fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars, one that he says cuts taxes on hard-working families, and one that invests in our shared priorities, including education.
We can bring real, meaningful relief to homeowners without abandoning Wisconsin's priorities like education and police protection. Under my plan, The typical property tax bill will go up less than 2% over the next couple of years, holding property taxes to less than the rate of inflation.
1-800-642-1234. If you have a reaction to something in the proposed state budget or a question about it, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. What do you think about the proposed hike in the cigarette tax? What do you think about this proposed tax on the oil companies? Every barrel of oil that comes into Wisconsin, put a tax on that. What do you think about some of the increased fees for registering a car or removing the cap on property tax hikes? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our guest is Joe Heim, a professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. And let's talk a little bit more about what he wants to do regarding education, Professor Heim. It says here he wants to repeal the qualified economic offer for public school teachers.
That's been a theme that the governor has done for years. You know, I think everybody knows he's strongly supported by school teachers, WEAC and AFT. And he's been proposing that for a long time. That one has to be tied to changes in the school aid formula. You simply cannot change one without the other. And so, you know, I'm sure the supporters of Governor Doyle are happy to hear that. Republicans, I think, will resist that to some degree. Now, if in fact there's a true reform of the school formula, perhaps that's a possibility. With the combined tax of, you know, the cap, excuse me, of 4% controlling the cost of school districts, it's possible you could get rid of the QEO under an overall package of things. But I think Republicans are going to be very wary of that whole approach.
Yeah. He did say, first and foremost, this budget maintains the state's commitment to fund 2/3 of the costs of our kids' education. He was expected to do that.
Yeah, I think if you identify the winners in this budget, school aids in the school, the K-12 system certainly is one of the winners. And he talked, obviously, about the university system as well. I think students would be winners. Keeping tuition down and increasing financial aid certainly is a plus. The university's growth agenda looks like it was one of the priorities. But very clearly, education as a whole, this is the education governor, and he seems to have expanded his approach to being in support of that area. So it's one of the big winners. I think school districts and school teachers probably were generally pretty happy to hear what they heard yesterday.
Yeah, he says we should make a major new investment in school breakfast, four-year-old kindergarten, and smaller class sizes from kindergarten through the third grade. How about those?
But first of all, I think in terms of the breakfast program, we rank 49th or 50th in the country in using that program. So I think that's, you sort of wonder, why would Wisconsin be so low on that? I've never heard a good answer for that, frankly. It would be nice to hear somebody calling in and explaining mm-hmm. that. But very clearly, that's an area we need to do more of. And his focus was on younger. If you listen carefully to what he said, he was talking about fourth grade. He was talking about health care for just younger children. So his focus was in that direction. One thing I was going to mention, buried in here, is it looks like there's going to be an increase in funding for school buses, and it sounds like that's going to come out of some other fund other than school budgets. In other words, transportation money may be used for that purpose. The governor was talking about police in schools, and it sounded like that is going to be something funded not out of school aids but out of some other source. So he's attempting to replace funding for those types of things with other type of source money, shall we say.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about what he's going to do or proposing to do for the University of Wisconsin system.
Well, he generally seems to be pretty supportive of President Kevin Riley's growth agenda. Most of the campuses have made proposals in the area of expansion of either access, of increased enrollments, basically, which would result, obviously, in an increase in graduates down the road. Wisconsin is above average in people in school, but below average in actual number of college graduates. So he's clearly going to propose, I think it was $225 million overall package, increase in certain programs in education and nursing, I think he talked about engineers, for example, in certain schools. Several schools I know are up for substantial increases in enrollment, and clearly supporting an increase in research in both UW-Milwaukee and UW-Madison. By the way, one of the things not mentioned in here is a package which was released about a week ago of Governor Doyle's plans for Milwaukee in general, and particularly for UW-Milwaukee. So he's clearly, I think, the Board of Regents of the university system are pleased with this budget at this point.
Yeah. He didn't address we need to send more state aid to Milwaukee?
He didn't really bring that up last night. He went to Milwaukee about a week ago and went through a pretty elaborate plan of essentially renewing the state's investment. I think it was about an $80 million plan to initiatives to help Milwaukee. And his argument was, of course, and I think the Milwaukee Journal picked up on this, that that this is the engine of the state's economy. And if you cannot, if you don't improve Milwaukee's situation, you're not going to improve the state. So he clearly seems to recognize that. And he's got a pretty elaborate, comprehensive package for Milwaukee. The downside of that is the rest of the state isn't real excited about Milwaukee, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's why he didn't bring it up last night. So it was directed at Milwaukee, a week ago, but basically didn't make the statewide speech.
Well, we have a caller, Lauren in Delavan, joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Hey, Lauren.
Yes, Joy might find this surprising, but I actually supported the governor in his campaign. But last night, I got to say, I'm pretty disappointed. He came out strongly saying he was gonna hold taxes and cut spending, and he did exactly the opposite. So I myself am pretty disappointed in his bill.
Yeah. When you say he didn't hold taxes down, it's primarily the property tax thing, or what?
Well, no, it's taxes across the board. I mean, he said he was gonna cut taxes or gonna hold taxes and cut spending, but in his whole speech last night, I didn't recognize anything where he's trying to consolidate the government or trying to find waste in the government and cut that out and trying to give us the same amount of services for less money, let's say. It's just, I want to have this program, I'm going to fund this program, I'm going to fund this program. No wonder people are happy. I mean, he just opened up the state's checkbook, and he's just writing checks like crazy.
Is that what he's doing, Professor Heim?
Not quite. There's no major increases in the major taxes in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I think that's always important because, frankly, if he'd come out and said we're going to increase property or sales or income, I think that would have probably gathered headlines. So he clearly stayed away from the major increases. His increased spending, we'll have to wait and see, but this is he's targeting very specific programs for increases in spending, areas of health care and education. What's not mentioned is what he's doing to some of the other programs. And maybe you just don't want to deliver bad news, but he did hint that large state agencies are going to receive cuts. And he did talk about certain economies, certain less duplication of effort. So you have to be an insider to know what those mean. But essentially, he's looking for ways of saving money as well.
Well, it also says here too. We talked a little bit about state employees were not being cut. In part, they said because of some federal mandates. But he's proposing adding 15 new crime lab jobs. We've heard about that backlog in the crime lab, and 122 new jobs to track sexual offenders.
Yeah, those are two little interesting wrinkles. The crime lab issue, because the control of that agency, the Justice Department, switched to J.B. Van Hollen, there was some feeling that maybe they would be perceived as rivals, and therefore the governor may not want to respond to that. And he was a little careful about how that was going to come out. I'm going to suggest or think that maybe what he's worried about is increasing. To get rid of a backlog, you increase, say, 15 positions. And then once you get the backlog is gone, what do? You've got larger government, basically. And I'm not sure he's interested in a permanent increase. I'm wondering if that is in an area where you could do a temporary increase of some sort. But and the sex offender issue, I think, certainly appeals to the public in general and trying to address that.
We're going to check our weather forecast. I think it's going to be another cold one today. And then we'll continue talking with Joe Heim, and we'll welcome in the legislative director of Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Incorporated, Michael Berkley, to get his reaction to what the governor proposed last night. And we'll still take your reaction, too, or your questions. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. We just heard from Lauren and Delavan saying he was disappointed because he didn't think the governor did enough here to hold the line on spending. What about you? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, and coming up after 7, we'll welcome in some other guests to react to other areas of the state budget. We'll be welcoming in a professor of public affairs and economics to give us an overview from his perspective. And then we'll hear from a guest from the Wisconsin Petroleum Council and a guest from the Wisconsin Hospital Association. Both will react to the proposed oil tax and hospital tax. That's coming up in our next hour. We welcome in now Michael Berkley, who is the legislative director of Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Incorporated, who will talk with us about what Governor Doyle had to say last night about property taxes. The governor said he would allow property taxes to go up as much as 4%, doubled the two-year cap that expired in January. He says this would result in an estimated tax increase on a median-valued home of $75, or 2.7%. The tax bill on such a home now, or last year, was $2,730. Michael Berkley, good morning.
Good morning to you, Joy.
Yeah, so what do you think of what the governor had to say, especially as it deals with property taxes?
Well, we're very pleased that he's continuing the idea of giving property taxpayers the opportunity to have the last word on how much their local governments can spend. But we are concerned that he's increased the limit to 4%, the limit that local governments can increase their property tax spending without the taxpayer's permission. When the freeze that he initiated last time for the past 2 years has worked well, local governments have continued to provide services, they've lived within the limits, and prevented hyperinflationary property tax increases. In fact, our property tax burden went down the last 2 years relative to our income. We'd like to see that continue. And the governor's proposal would bring it very close to the rate of inflation. We'll see what happens. And frankly, we're not convinced that until we look at the numbers, that his proposal for school funding, two-thirds of what, isn't exactly clear. We appreciate the effort to maintain two-thirds school funding because that does, in fact, relieve some of the pressures on the property taxpayers.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see how that works out. We'd, you know, very much like to see it revert back to the 2% plus or the rate of growth due to new construction.
Yeah, what do you mean that you're relieved he is allowing property taxpayers to have the final say?
Well, that's exactly what the referendum provision allows. It allows local governments, you know, the old freeze allowed local governments to increase taxes 2% of the rate of growth due to new construction, whichever is greater, without the taxpayer's consent, but allows the taxpayers to approve more by referendum, and so that if they want more service or if they want some new service, the taxpayers can give that approval. And the governor's new proposal simply raises the limit in terms of how much local governments can increase their spending without taxpayers' consent, but maintains the proviso that if they need more, they can ask the taxpayers.
Yeah.
So the taxpayers would have the final word on how much they're willing to pay.
Yeah. Any other concerns or questions that that you have after hearing what the governor had to say?
Not really, because you know, the devil's in the details, as they say, and we're not exactly sure how the school limits are going to play out, whether or not the option to increase the limit by 1% is available to local school boards. Those are questions we have. We would be concerned if they had that option without the taxpayers concerned.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Michael Berkley, Legislative Director of Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Incorporated. Professor Heim, any thoughts on what he had to say?
Well, I think he's waiting for the details. I heard two words that I think kind of explain a lot of these things, pleased and concerned. And this is probably true for the whole budget. There's certain elements that virtually anybody might be pleased about, but there are also some concerns about some of the details. What the governor was attempting to do in this area is loosen up those caps just ever so slightly. A lot of local governments, especially counties, have been under a certain amount of fiscal stress. The caps of the past have put some severe stress on local budgets, and combined with the federal government cutbacks has really created some difficulties for local governments. So this at least addresses to some degree the needs. If you're a county official or a mayor, you feel a little bit better today. There was, not mentioned, by the way, by Michael, was the fact that built in here is some kind of an incentive for local governments, a financial reward, if you will, if they hold down the taxes below that 4%. So that may, after we see how that works out, but that may, in fact, encourage local governments that have the ability to hold it down will do so.
The governor said that the progress we've made in the past 4 years puts us in the position now to offer Wisconsin something important, real, meaningful, middle-class tax relief. And he went on to say how he was going to help out working families, like making the cost of child care tax deductible, to expand the tuition tax deduction, and some other things. We just had a caller who dropped off who said that this is not a budget for the middle class. This, you can't avoid these tax increases that the governor has in here if you're in the middle class. Which is it, Professor Hunt?
I'm not sure I agree with that. Mm-hmm. So much of this is going to be in tax credits that I don't think the average taxpayer is going to see this right away. You know, if you're buying cigarettes, you're going to be paying more money immediately. But your tax credits, of course, come later at a later point. So the school tax credits that he talked about, the health care tax credits, financial aid, all those things kind of come at a later point. On balance, and by the way, a lot of the things that were directed, you mentioned, for example, all kids would have health care. He's attempting, I believe, to raise the limits on health care for single people as well as married couples that don't have kids. So those are things clearly directed, in my opinion, at the middle class. So I agree that I think this is, in fact, a middle class budget.
Let's bring in Holly from Madison. Hi, Holly.
Hi there. I was just calling to comment on, or ask actually, about if the governor had mentioned anything regarding the expansion or the redesign of long term care in his address.
Long term health care?
Right.
Yeah. Professor Ryan?
I believe that is part, a small part of that is in one of his health care proposals. And it might be senior care. I'm not sure about that. I guess,
yeah.
I'd be kind of guessing. He talked about a health care trust fund that would might be related to that. But a lot of this is federal, of course. But I believe that one of his proposals includes additional encouragement to allow people to have health care at home rather than going to nursing homes.
Yeah, I don't see any detailed highlight on long term care, but here's one that we haven't talked about that might run into some legislative resistance. Group health insurance benefits would be offered to domestic partners of all state employees. What do you think?
That's a red flag for Republicans, certainly, especially after we passed that referendum last fall. Dealing with the definition of marriage. There's some questions about whether those two may be tied together, but the governor not only proposed that for the state University of Wisconsin officials, which has been a concern for the university officials for a long time, but he said all state employees. My sense is that this would be very difficult to get this through the assembly.
Yeah. And other health care things. He did say there was a tax cut for health insurance premiums.
Yes. That's where the credits, so much of this is in credits, basically. That I think mm-hmm. a lot of people, that goes over their head a bit because it has to do with taxes somewhere down the road. But, yeah, he's clearly expanding certain types of making health care more affordable to the average people. I think he renewed his commitment. He said 98% of the kids in Wisconsin will have access to health care. That doesn't mean the state's just going to hand it to them. It means they're going to have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's going to be probably a sliding scale in terms of just what you pay for that.
Boy, we covered most of it here, and we have less than a minute. I want to recap the winners and losers as far as you're concerned in this proposed budget.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think the big winners are school aides, the school systems in general, the UW system. The students at the university, I think, are going to be pretty happy with this. Not mentioned last night, but I think Milwaukee is a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Last but not least, and maybe the most important, are families and kids. I think this really does tend to deliver things that are going to be helpful for children and health care especially, and families in general. So I think those are the big winners. Losers, I didn't hear much about corrections. I think that's probably one of the losers. Transportation, I think, is going to have a problem. Frankly, local government may be happy with the release mm-hmm. caps, but ultimately they're not getting any more money from the state. And hospitals are certainly one of the areas. And throw in big oil, too.
Yeah, and big tobacco. All right. Thank you, Professor Heim. Joe Heim, Professor of Political Science at UW La Crosse, talking with us about Governor Doyle's state budget address last night. We'll continue talking with other guests, different perspectives, and with you in our next hour, and for that matter, the hour after that. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.